This is your friend John Walden. We're going to have a little Bible study about a question that a good many people are asking these days. Why hasn't the Lord Jesus come back? It isn't only unbelievers who are asking this. There's a difference, of course, in how they ask it. According to 2 Peter 3, the scoffers ask, where is the sign of his coming? Meaning, we don't see any reason for expecting it. But even Christians are saying, why hasn't the Lord Jesus come back? Well, let me tell you, first of all, that I do believe that he is coming back. I believe it because he himself said so. John 14, he said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The Lord Jesus said he was coming back. There's no use to say that he comes when people die, for that isn't the coming of the Lord to which he referred. Very evident from the first chapter of Acts. When the Lord Jesus ascended, while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. This was a vision of angels, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Now, not only do we have his own word and the word of angels, but we have the word of every New Testament writer. 325 times in the New Testament, that's one verse out of every 25, contains a promise or some statement about the return of the Lord Jesus. Yes, I believe the Lord Jesus is coming back. The question, however, is, why hasn't he already come? Well, let me state that there are some misunderstandings about his promises. First of all, he did not set any dates. He didn't leave any dates hidden to be uncovered by wise people. There is simply nothing to indicate the exact time of his return. The Lord left it this way purposely, I'm sure. The signs that are given are often misinterpreted because these signs were given specially that the Jewish people might know about his coming to reestablish his kingdom. We as Christians, of course, can see things developing in the world today that indicate to us that his coming is nearer than ever before. And I haven't any question at all in my mind but that he will come very soon. But the Christians in the first century could look for the Lord's return. He left it in such a way that all Christians in all ages would be looking for his coming back again. Every once in a while, someone, oftentimes a well-meaning person, will think that he's discovered something that tells just when the Lord is coming. And we have several dates in the past that have been set by people who felt sure that the Lord is coming at a certain time. Well, I say they felt sure. They were fairly sure. I recall that one man sold his property and encouraged all his followers to do so, but when the Lord didn't come on that date, it was found that he had sold his property with a proviso that he could buy it back at the same price in case he was wrong, so he wasn't too sure about it. But I don't ridicule people for expecting the Lord. I say, though, that they are foolish for expecting him on a given date when he has said plainly, of that day and hour knoweth no man. But someone will say, he said, yet a little while, and I come again. And you surely can't say that it's been just a little while when it's been over 1900 years. It's getting on toward 2000 years since he went away. Surely that isn't a little while. Yes, it is a little while where God lives. Hasn't he said that 1,000 years are as a day and a day is 1,000 years? Which simply means that where God lives there aren't any clocks or calendars. To God it is a little while. Because God is from eternity to eternity. And time is just a little space, just a drop in the bucket, just a dot in the ocean. Now, there are some reasons for what may seem, like us, to be delays. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, he takes this very subject up. This is what he says. 2 Peter chapter 3, and the first part of it I quoted a little bit ago, where he says that scoffers shall come in the last days, walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. But then he goes on to say that they are willingly ignorant when they say this, because things have not always continued just as they were. There was the flood, and just as he says, just as the world was overflowed and perished in a flood, so he says in verse 7, the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, by the word of God, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Now, let's get that established in our minds to begin with. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. There must be some other explanation. The Lord hasn't forgotten his promise. He has not been caught by surprise and changed his mind, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering. Now, this is the key to it. He is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. This is my golden anniversary year. I accepted the Lord Jesus as my Savior 50 years ago. I'm so glad the Lord Jesus didn't come back 51 years ago. How long have you known the Savior? 10 years? Aren't you glad he didn't come 11 years ago and leave you outside forever? If the Lord Jesus had come yesterday, you wouldn't have an opportunity to trust Christ today, my friend. Those of you who have never been born again, God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Of course, there will come a time when the last one will be in. There will come a time when there will be no more opportunity, but God is most unwilling to judge. Judgment is called God's strange work. As I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God doesn't want anyone to be lost. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Of course the whole world won't be saved. Of course every generation has those who reject the Lord Jesus and are lost. But every generation so far has had those who have received the Savior, and so he has waited for one more generation. So he says he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come, as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless, and account that the long-suffering of our God is salvation. So you see, the Lord is waiting. Now, these events I've just been reading about follow the return of the Lord. We believe that the next event on the prophetic calendar is the return of the Lord to take home those who have trusted him as Savior. Then we believe that those who have been taken away by him, including all true believers, will be with him eternally from that time on. But there are other events that take place on the earth. All of these things which have to do with the return of Israel to their land, and the restoration of all things, the setting up of his kingdom, the final rebellion, and then at the last, the end of the world, occupy some 1,000 years beyond the Great Tribulation, which is 7 years in length. Yes, there's every reason to expect the Lord Jesus to come back soon. Conditions in Israel, the Lord Jesus said, would indicate the return of the Lord. He said the fig tree was going to bud. And we have seen Israel become a nation, and we have seen Israel flourish, all within the last few years. Conditions in Israel indicate the nearness of Christ's return. Conditions in the Gentile nations. We're told that other men's hearts are failing them for fear, but that Christians can look up and lift up our heads because we know that our redemption draweth near. And Christians are not the least bit surprised by the things which we see happening in the Gentile nations today. And then according to the 3rd chapter of the Revelation, conditions in the church today are such as they will be at the close of this age. Laodicean type of Christianity. And then, of course, there is an apprehension among thinking people, and you need to be ready. And you can be ready by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, we thank Thee for Thy Son, that He loved us and died for us, and we thank Thee that we can trust Him as our Savior and look for His return. We thank Thee in His name. Amen.